Boker Tov, good morning. We are continuing the Daf Yomi. Today's Daf is Daf Zayin. We left off at the top of the page on Daf Zayin, page 7. Where's the top of the page? Today's class will be for the Refuah, Shalemam, Ba'alachanim, Rechnadam, Chemdam, Barachamah, Chanabshan, and Nechanam, Kassar, Ba'alam, Nech, Shalom, Matzah, Adavin, Rechai, Yifah, Ba'adar, Rechav, Ba'adachav, Yifah, Ba'asar, Shalom, Matzah, Yifah, Ba'alam, Shalom, Chanah, Yifah, Ba'adar, Yam, Yawidam, Yifah, Chesam, Rechav, Chanah, Simcham, Ba'ad, Malkah, Miram, Dachim, Zimah, Yam, Chanah, Yam, 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 Dan ben Yosef, come in the command of the Kaddish, and the Rayam and Fay, Yosef, and the Rosh of the Penina, Yosef, and Yafan, the name of the Nasim, and the Offer, and the Ram, Kavash, and the Ram, 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 okay, we're on the top of the page on Zayin Amud Aleph. Just very quickly also, I should have explained this in the beginning of the Masachet, but it's okay, we're only a couple of dapim in. The Mefarshim that we see on the page, they say the Nedarim, and I've seen this in the Rishonim also, they're saying that the Masachet Nedarim is very unique Masachet in that it doesn't have Rashi or Tosfot directly on the side of the page. This is not Rashi, and this is not Tosafot. So some say this is a different Mefaresh, we don't know exactly who it is. Some say it was his daughter, we don't know exactly who it is essentially. That's the Rashi side, but it's not Rashi, that's for sure. And the other side is the Ran. So the go-to in Masechet Nedarim is really the Ran, and like, as I'm even preparing the Dapim, you can't get by without looking at the Ran and understanding. The Ran really was a very late Rishon who gathered all together, all of the, he saw all of the Poskim, he saw all of the Rishonim, he saw a very big chunk, and he brings all of the Halachot and brings all the different Poskim, so it's very important to see the Ran. We're going to be able to see the Ran a lot more. Okay, we're at the top of the page, on the first line. We started talking about something that was Yad. Yad, we said, is a partial declaration. So we spoke about yesterday a few examples. If there is Yad le Kiddushin or Yad le Pe'ah, is there something called a partial declaration for Kiddushin or for Pe'ah? Now the Gemara is going to ask a few more questions. And if you remember, yesterday we left those questions unanswered. So the Gemara says, Yesh Yad le Tztaka or Ein Yad le Tztaka? Is there a partial declaration for Tzedakah or not? So the Gemara says, Echidame, what's the case? Ilema, perhaps the case is the Amar, a person says, Haden Zuza Litztaka. This Zuz should go to Tzedakah. Vehaden Nami, and this one too. So from the fact that he says, Vehaden Nami, Ahu Tzedakah Atzmahi, that's for sure Tzedakah. That's not the question. Ela, the question must be, Kegon de Amar Haden. If he said, Haden, this. So even the word Haden is not generally used in Talmud Bavli. Masechet Nedarim is very unique in that it has these different words. Hadin, what if he just said Hadin velo amar nami, my, and he didn't say also? So what would be the case? Is that counted as this, that's enough for tzedakah, or he needs to say this also? So the Gemara says, Hadin nami tzedakah ka amar. Does that mean that he is saying this should also be tzedakah? Or Dilmar, perhaps, what does it mean, my vehadin? What does it mean by saying this? Nami lenafkuta be'alma ka'amar. It was really, he was saying, you don't read the Nami, it says, lenafkuta be'alma ka'amar. It's really talking about, this should be for his expenses. That's what he meant. He didn't mean to say, this is for tzedakah. Vediburahu de lo aske. And he didn't finish his sentence, essentially. Meaning he didn't get to the end of his sentence. What he wanted to say is, this should be for my expenses. This is tzedakah, and this for my expenses. That's what he meant to say. So which one is it? The Gemara says, "Mi amrina, do we say, kevan de itkash le korbanot, that since tzedakah has a hekesh, has a connection to korbanot, dichtiv, as the pasuk says about tzedakah, it says, motza sefadecha tishmor, vasita kasher nedata l'adonai lecha nedava, asher dibarta beficha, the nedava that you spoke in your mouth, the tzedakah that you said you would give, that or whatever you said with your mouth to give, you have to keep. So, beficha, zot tzedakah, the Gemara says, that is referring to charity. Ma korbanot yesh lahin yad. Just like korbanot, they has something called a partial declaration. Am tzedakah, so to charity yesh la yad. It has a partial declaration. Or perhaps dilma lebal ta'achehu de itkash. When it made a connection to korbanot, it was only for the mitzvah of bal ta'acher, of don't delay. You're not allowed to delay your tzedakah that you are donating either. So which one is it? Is it hekesh for that or for this? And the Gemara again leaves us unanswered. So the Gemara goes on to another question. Yes, yad lehefker, or dilma in yad lehefker. is there a parsha declaration for hefker, for leaving something ownerless, or there is no parsha declaration for such thing? So the Gemara says, "Hainu tzedakah." That's the same thing as charity. Saying yesh yad lehefker, yesh yad letzedakah is essentially you're saying using the same amount of words. So what's the difference? It's the same question. So why are you asking the question again? So the Gemara says, "Im timtze lomar ka'amar." No, we were asking im timtze lomar. What is im timtze lomar? If you want to say. Im timtze lomar yesh yad letzedakah. If you want to say that there is partial declaration for tzedakah, de'en hekesh lamechetza. Because we can't make a hekesh for only half of things. What does that mean? What does it mean, only half of things? So when we made a hekesh, when you're making a hekesh for something, a connection, you make a connection for, you learn out all things from that other matter. So if we're learning from a korban, you should learn out all things from it. You shouldn't just learn out half things from it. So maybe when we're saying yesh yad letzedakah, it must be because there's ain you can't make it only a hekesh lemechetza. You can't just make a halfway hekesh. Or perhaps what the reason is, the Gemara says, hefker mi amrinan haynu tzedaka. And would we say that making something ownerless is the same thing as saying yesh yad letzedaka? Or perhaps, or dilma, shani tzedaka. Tzedakah is different than making something ownerless. The tzedakah lo chazia ela laniim. Tzedakah is only fit for poor people. Aval hefker, when making something ownerless, is bein laniim, bein lasherim. It's whether it's for poor people or for wealthy people. So it's something different. So maybe it would not be the same thing as tzedakah. That's the question. If we say there is yad letzedakah, is ownerless the same thing, or is ownerless different than tzedakah? That's the question. So the Gemara, yeah? But the Gemara leaves us unanswered again. So that's number four times that we get unanswered. Ba'e Ravina. Ravina comes and asks, yesh yad lebeit hakise, olo, is there partial declaration for a bathroom or not? What does that mean? Can you, there's a concept actually, it's a question in Masechet Berachot. If you come being mazmin a beit hakise, you're coming and saying, I'm declaring that this is becoming the bathroom. Is there hazmana? Is there such a thing called hazmana that you can do that? You can declare this to be a bathroom, and now all of a sudden now it has the tum'ah of a bathroom, and you can't make saying you can't take kriyat shema over there, so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, hechidame, what's the case? Ilema, perhaps the case is the amar haden beita leheve beit hakise. He says this place should be a beit hakise, should be a bathroom. V'hadin nami, and this one too. So that's for sure a bathroom, right? Ahu beit hakiseh nami hava. That's for sure also a bathroom. He said nami. Ela, it must be kegon da'amar v'hadin. It must be he just said, and this. And he didn't say v'lo amar nami. And he didn't say also. So what would be the case there? Mai. So the Gemara says, hadin da'amar v'hadin nami beit hakiseh. When he said haden, he said this, is it also, is that referring to this also should be a bathroom? Or Dilmar, perhaps my vehaden, what did he mean to say when he said and this? Litashmisha be alma ka'amar. He wasn't referring for it to be used as a bathroom necessarily. Maybe he just used for any use that's needed. For any specific use that's needed. So maybe he wasn't necessarily designating it for a bathroom, because he didn't state bathroom or state also. So the Gemara says, hold on a second, I have a question in between your question. Does this mean that it's so simple to Ravina that there is something called hazmana for a Beit HaKiseh that you can declare a Beit HaKiseh? Is that so simple to the opinion of Ravina? That we said that Ravina asked this question, is there a yad, is there a partial declaration for Beit HaKiseh? That means that he must hold that there's for sure a full declaration for Beit HaKiseh. Only question is partial. But does he really hold of that? V'hala, we have a Gemara in Masechet Brachot. The Gemara says, V'hami ba'ele Ravina. Ravina had a question over there. He's minola beit hakiseh ma'u. If somebody declared this to become a beit hakiseh, a bathroom, what's the deen? Is he allowed to read Kriyat Shema in there anymore or not? So the Gemara says, so sounding from there. And then he asks again, he's minola beit hamerchatz ma'u. If somebody declares this room to be a bathhouse, does it now take upon the rules of a bathhouse or not? So what do you see from there? He didn't know for sure if there is hazmana for Beit HaKiseh, if there is a declaration for Beit HaKiseh. So seemingly, it's not so clear for him. Why would he ask then, yesh yad la Beit HaKiseh? So the Gemara says, Zimun mo'il or en zimun mo'il.
Down here it says, right? The suffix is when you say with your words or whether you have to do something to come and make it.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course, that's the question. But the point of the question is, are you able, is that enough just to be able to say, this is becoming a betikse, or I have to actually go and use the bathroom? Right? So the Gemara says, zimun mo'il or en zimun mo'il. Does hazmana count or not? Does just saying that this is a bathroom work or not? So the Gemara, so clearly Ravina is not so clear about this. So the Gemara says, Ravina chada mi gochada kami bayele. Ravina was asking a question within a question. Beautiful. Zimun mo'il or ain zimun mo'il? Is declaring a bathroom to be a bathroom enough or not? Im timtse lomar yesh zimun, and if you say yes, it does count. Yesh yad or ain yad? That's the question.
Double question.
Is there zimun? Is declaring this a bathroom considered a bathroom, or I need to actually use it? And if you say it is declaring is enough, is there yad lazim yad for a Beit HaKiseh or not? Is declaring it partially enough or not? Now you ask the next question. So tibayile. That's really the question that let it be inquired, let it be asked, right? But the Gemara again doesn't answer. So this is the fifth yesh yad or ein yad that the Gemara leaves unanswered.
And
the Ran goes through all of these. And the Ran, it's a very long Ran. I'm not going to go into all of them, but he gives a couple of answers just in the beginning of the Ran. He says, with the case of Leinan Halacha, he says, Bekidushin, Akteinan Lechumra. For Kidushin, we say to be strict that there is Yad Lekidushin. And then, by Pe'ah and Tzedakah, the Rashba writes that we go Lechumra because we left it in a Teku, and the Ramban agrees with that. And the Ran goes in a little bit of Pilpulim, bringing different Gemarot. But essentially, he goes to the different Psakim as when we leave it by a Teku, we try to go Machmir according to the Rashba over there. But a question I had over here, maybe I could leave you with this question, is why did Ravina need to ask two questions? He asked, is there zimun for the Beit HaKiseh? And if there is there partial zimun for Beit HaKiseh? If he would have just asked if there's partial zimun for Beit HaKiseh, obviously there's full zimun. Right? He could have asked one question.
There's no partial.
Okay, so if there's no partial, then ask your question. Why are you asking the question first of hazmana? Is there hazmana for Beit HaKiseh? And if yes, it's the other way around. Is there zimun? Is there partial zimun for the Beit HaKiseh? And if not, then ask your second question. You don't even need the second question if there is.
Yeah, but if there's no zimun, then you don't need the second question either.
The second question wouldn't
help. No, if there is zimun, then you don't need the second question.
If there's no zimun, the second question wouldn't apply.
Either way,
if there's no, okay.
And then if there is, we'll ask the second question.
Oh, you're saying if there's no zimun, then you don't need the second question regardless.
Either way, you can ask the same question you asked.
Okay, very good. Beautiful answer. Okay, very good. Okay, the Mishnah then stated,
Menudei ani lecha. It would be a leniency because now it's a safek sfeka as opposed to all the other ones that you're machmir.
Yechol yad, we have to be me'ayen more in the run. But anyhow, the Mishnah then said, "Menudeh ani lecha." If somebody says, "I'm menudeh to you, I'm excommunicated from you," so we said, Rabbi Akiva said he was he struggled and he said to be machmir. So the Gemara said, "Amar ba'e moder Rabbi Akiva li'inyan malkut she'ino loke." Rabbi Akiva agrees with regards to lashes. If somebody violates this that he took upon himself, "Menudeh ani lecha," that's the way the Mefarish explains it, that he does not receive lashes. So the Gemara says, the imken, because if he would receive lashes, nitne Rabbi Akiva machmir. It should have just stated Rabbi Akiva is strict. That's not what our Mishnah said. What did our Mishnah say? Rabbi Akiva struggles to be clear, to be strict, meaning he had a doubt. So Rashi explains, he was in doubt. Yeah, not Rashi, but the Mefaresh explains, he was in doubt. He didn't know for sure. So that's why he's machmir. So that's why if it's safek, he wouldn't give you malkut. Meaning if you violated, he wouldn't give you malkut. Okay? Amara Papa. Binedina minach tikule amelo pligi de asur. When someone says something with regards to nidina, meaning excommunication, menude nidina from you, everyone agrees that's asur for him to benefit. Mishamtana minach tikule alma share. If he says mishamtana is another version of excommunication, but it's more. The previous one is more of like a forbidden benefit type of here. The Mefaresh explains, "Benedina minach de mashma beferush ehem menudeh lecha." Dehainu vaday lekulei alma asur shamta eino kol kach kenidui. And shamta in the Gemara Masechet Moed Katan, it explains also that shamta is not as bad of excommunication as nidui. So if somebody says, "I'm nidui to you," then it's for sure asur to benefit. If he says, "I'm shamta to you," everybody agrees he's mutar to benefit. B'may pligi, what's the machloket over here? So filming the amud. The machloket is if he says, "I am menudeh to you." So the Rabbi Akiva Sevar, Rabbi Akiva holds Lishna de Niduniyahu. It's considered a Lashon of Nidui, and that's why in Niduniyah. And so that's why Niduyah, thank you. And that's why we'd be Machmir. And so that's why he would be Asur to benefit. Verabbanan Savre, Lishna de Mishamtana. Who? Rabbanan say, no, it's a language of Mishamtana, which is a lower level of Nidui, of excommunication. So that's why he would not be Asur. Upligad Rav Chista, and they're arguing an opinion of Rav Chista. Dehu gavra, there was a man, the Amar Mishamtana bin Ichsei, the Brei Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. He came and said, I am Mishamtana, excommunicated the lower level from the properties of the son of Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba. Atta lekameh de Rav Chista, he came in front of Rav Chista. Amar lei, leid dechash leha de Rabbi Akiva. Nobody worries for the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, nobody worries for his opinion that he was strict. But hold on a second. Was Rabbi Akiva strict in this case? Was this what the case was? We said that if someone says Mishamtana, everyone agrees it's Mutar. So he seemingly Rav Chista was talking about a different case. Rav Chista was talking about the case of Mishamtana, and he says Rabbi Akiva was Machmir. So the Gemara says Kasavar b'Mishamtana pligi. He thought that they are arguing in a case of Mishamtana, but that's not the case. And so that's why he said that. But really what we hold is only by Niduya are we arguing. Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav. Now some halachot with regards to Dinei Nidui. Nidau b'fanav. If somebody gave Nidui to somebody in his presence, ain metirin lo ela b'fanav. You can only permit his Nidui in his presence. Nidau shelo b'fanav. If you gave him Nidui not in his presence, matirin lo ben b'fanav ben shalom b'fanav. We would permit him even without his presence. Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav. Hashomeh azkarat Hashem ipi chaverot tzarech lenadoto. If somebody hears somebody say Hashem's name in vain, he has to give him nidui. You have to excommunicate him. Vimlo nidau, and if you didn't give him nidui, hu atzmo ye ben nidui. You should go be in nidui. If you hear somebody make bracha levatala, for example, put him in nidui. So you should be in nidui. Shekol makom shazkarat Hashem metzuya. Anytime Hashem's name in vain is present, sham aniyut metzuya. Poverty is present. Va'aniyut kemita, and poverty is like death. Shneimar, the pasuk says in Shemot, it says ki metu kol ha'anashim. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to Mitzrayim. Datan v'Aviram. All of the people have died already. All of those people have died. You remember Moshe Rabbeinu ran away. He's coming back now. So all of the people have died, but they didn't actually all die, right? That they were still alive. So why did he say that? So the Mefaresh explains over here. V'amrinan hainu datan v'Aviram shenaflu ba'aniut. He's referring to Datan and Aviram who fell poor. Since they became poor, they're like they're dead. A person who's poor is like poverty. So that's the source. Vetanya, and the bride says, Kol makom shenatnu chachamim enehem, anytime the chachamim place their eyes on something, o mita, o oni, it's either death or poverty. They can use that with their eyes. Amar Rabbi Abba. Yeah. Abba ka'imna kameh de Rav Huna. I was standing in front of Rav Huna. I heard this woman, the Afka Haskarat Hashem Levatala, who said Hashem's name in vain. Shamta, so he put her in Nidui, in excommunication, Visharala the altar, and then permitted her right away. He said, okay, you should be in excommunication, now you're permitted. Like Hatara. So the Gemara says, Be'apa, right in front of her. Shmamina Tlat, and we learn three things from this. Shmamina, we learn, Hashomeh Haskarat Hashem Mipicha Averot Tzarech Lenadoto. If you hear Hashem's name in vain, you have to put the person in Nidui. Somebody put somebody in nidui. You can only annul that. If you did it in his presence, you can only annul it in his presence. And we also learn from that. There doesn't have to even be one moment between after his excommunication. Right after you put him in excommunication, you can annul it. You can take it away right away. We learn those three things. Amarav gidel amarav. Tamin chacham minadel atzmo umefer latzmo. Tamin chacham can put himself in nidui and take himself out of nidui. So the Gemara says, there's different girsa, but one girsa explains pshita, it's obvious. Mauda tema, I mean, of course a Tamil Chacham can do that. So what's the chidush? So the Gemara says, Mauda tema, I would have thought, ein chavush matir atzmo b'vet asurin. Maybe somebody in jail cannot open the keys and let himself out of jail, right? If he put himself in nidui, he can't take himself out of nidui. So the Gemara says, Kamashmala, and then we learn from here that no, really, even in that case, he can't. The Gemara says, Hechi dame, what's the case over here? Ki had de mor zutra chasida, ki mechayev bar beirav shamta, when somebody would be liable to nidui, excommunication, mishamet nafshe beresha, vehadar mishamet bar beirav. He would first put himself in nidui, and then put the rabbi in nidui.
Not to forget.
Right. Exactly. When he would go into his house, he would permit himself and then permit the other person. So as to remember, let me permit the other person, let me do it to myself first. He would excommunicate himself first, then excommunicate the other person, go into his house, permit himself, and then permit the other person. This is the story. But there's a very important run over here. The run discusses this case over here, that we said that a Tamil Chacham can put himself into Nidui and take himself out of Nidui. And the run says, he brings a Rashba that says this is only when the person himself, the Tamil Chacham himself, is not liable to Nidui. But if the Tamil Chacham is liable to Nidui and he was put in Nidui, he can't permit himself out of Nidui. You're liable to Nidui. It's only if you're not liable to Nidui and you put yourself in there that you can take yourself out, like this case the Gemara then brought. So the Ran actually comments and says, if you look at the Ran, that the Rambam disagrees with the Rashba. And the Ramban says that in any situation that he puts himself in Nidui, he can take himself out of Nidui, no matter what. If he put himself in, he can take himself out. Right? Whereas the Rashba is explaining that it's only when he's not liable to Nidui. And so they're actually arguing on the Girsa of the Gemara. The Gemara stated the word Pshita, it's obvious, right? It said a Chacham who put himself in Nidui can take himself out of Nidui. The Gemara said, that's obvious. Right? Look at the Ran. V'hikshu alav, it's in the middle of the run. Im ken hechi makshele mi'ashas pshita. Why did the Gemara ask? It's obvious. Why do you need to ask that? Mikame de amar ki had amor zutra adaraba. Shol amai. It should have asked why. It shouldn't have said pshita. It's obvious. It should have asked why. If that was the case, if the case of the Rashba is right, based on the question they're asking on him. So the Ran explains, "Lefichach amru de bechol inyan shenida etatzmo mefer laatzmo." So the Rambam explains that any place a person puts himself into nidui, he can take himself out of excommunication because the Gemara said pshita; it's obvious. So, and then the Ran goes on and saying, some actually don't put the word pshita in there, and whoever is goresken divrei Rashba nechonim tamam. Whoever actually puts the word pshita in there, the Rashba sounds like he makes more sense. That's what the Ran says, right? How is that the case? Why does it make more sense? Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of the Ran. I just want to say this is a very important Ran. Kadav Rashba, read from the beginning. Zad. The davka yeche de lo have bar nidui. Only in a place where he wasn't liable to nidui. Ki had the mor zutra, the case of mor zutra that we brought afterwards. The mimidar chasidut be'alma mishum yekara de bar be'rav have a mishamet nafshe. He would put himself into nidui out of status of chasidut. Aval keshenida atzmo al devar shayech hayav alav nidui lo kol hemenu lahatir atzmo. But if he was liable to nidui and put himself in, he can't just take himself out because he was liable to it. And they asked on him, so that's why the Gemara then asked, why does it say the word pshita? It should have said the word amai, right? So that's why the Ran goes on to explain that based on who you hold like, that's how the Girsa would make sense, if you hold like the Rambam or the Rashba. But essentially, the question is the machloket between the Rambam and the Rashba. If any Tamil Chacham can just put himself in and take himself out of Nidui, which is the Rambam, or the Rashba says, no, it's only if he's not liable to Nidui. But if he is liable to Nidui, he can't take himself out. If he put himself in, he can't take himself out. Okay, we'll stop there for today. We'll do a quick 1 minute recap. We had three cases on this daf with Yad. Is there Yad Litztaka, Yad Lehefker, and Yad Lebeta Kise? Right? These were the three questions. The Gemara actually left them unanswered and the Ran went in discussing the cases. Then, as we get towards the bottom of the page, really as we flip the Amud, we started getting into the concept of Menudei Ani Lecha, the wording. We said Nidui is stronger than Mishamtana, Shamta. So Nidui, for sure, is a sort of benefit. Shamta is not a sort of benefit.
It's like a Nidui.
It's right? It's like a Nidui, exactly.
Not for Amot of the person.
Exactly. So then the Gemara started getting into the halachot on the Amud Bet of Nidui. And we said there are three important halachot. Number one, if you hear somebody say Hashem's name in vain, you put him into Nidui. And if you don't, you go in Nidui. Number two is that the amount of time you have to leave him in Nidui is just even for one moment. You don't even have to leave him in there for a long time. And number three, we said that if you put somebody in Nidui in his presence, you can only annul him in his presence. But if he's not in his presence, then you can do it even not in his presence. And that was pretty much the remainder of the daf. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.